The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Trump and Xi, the Beijing summit.
Coming on the air in prime time for the arrival ceremony, signaling the start of this historic summit between President Trump and China's President Xi. This high-stakes meeting taking place in the shadow, of course, of the war in Iran. Thursday morning here in the Chinese capital of Beijing, China pulling out all of the stops, giving President Trump the red carpet treatment. President Trump now arriving. You're looking at live pictures here. You can see the motorcade bringing the president. Set to shake hands now with President Xi. He was greeted upon arrival, getting off of Air Force One. The president was with Chinese flags, American flags, and now the children of China greeting President Trump and President Xi. The president now has taken his seat next to Secretary Rubio. Secretary Hegseth there, Rubio keeping his eye to the door. I'm being told by the control room that we do not know yet whether as part of this press pool coverage we'll have translation of President Xi right here, but let's listen.
President Trump, I'm very pleased to meet you in Beijing. Welcome back to China after 9 years. The whole world is watching our meeting. Currently, transformation not seen in a century is accelerating across the globe, and the international situation is fluid and turbulent. The world has come to a new crossroads. Can China and the United States overcome the Thucydides trap and create a new paradigm of major country relations?
You and I have known each other now for a long time. In fact, the longest relationship of our two countries that any president and president has had, and that's to me an honor. We've had a fantastic relationship. We've gotten along. When there were difficulties, we worked it out. I would call you and you would call me, and whenever we had a problem, people don't know, whenever we had a problem, we worked that out very quickly. We're going to have a fantastic future together.
President Trump and Chinese President Xi arriving at the Temple of Heaven in Beijing.
Talk about Taiwan.
Did you talk about Taiwan? It was not answered. Both men turned away.
President Trump in China, first time, I think it was said there, for a U.S. president in 9 years. So a huge, historic meeting between these two world powers, and the reference there to Thucydides about, really, a lot of commentators have noted that it's about China being an ascendant power and the United States being the power in decline. So pretty bold, and all this happens as you're having congressional testimony about how the U.S., together with China, weaponized COVID just 6 years ago. And of course, we know all that came from that. We know how that the dear leader, Fauci, and friends were working with China. And I think, you try to make sense of these huge summits from the prophetic standpoint, and it seems like China would need to be weakened in the months or years ahead to come underneath the leadership of the Prince of Rosh. So that's the big picture. But at the same time, you look at this and you realize, or you think about just how much fakery there is in the world today. I mean, here China is responsible for so much evil in the world, and yet you see a president going over there, you see Marco Rubio, you see people talking about how the dialogue or the discussion is just leading to so much peace and happiness for all. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots to get to on the program. Busy, busy week for us here at the last week of exams for the college students. We've got the graduation ball this evening. We've got graduation this weekend, and it's happening at the same time that America is supposed to be rededicated to the great God. I don't know if I'll have too much time to get into that story, but we'll look at that more on tomorrow's show. But this from the Morning Brief, Mr. Hillel. Well, just to go back to the point about dialogue, I think this is from Secretary Rubio on Fox News last night. Play clip 7.
Because this is a big deal that you're going, that the president is going, the Secretary of Defense is on this plane, and so many others. And every top business leader in America is going on this trip. It's kind of crazy. If you had a goal, what you would like, you would say it would be, how would you define a successful trip?
Well, I think it's already a success because we're going, and we're going to be able to talk to them as opposed to at them.
How do you define a successful trip? It's a success because we're going. It's a success because we're talking to them. This is the way the ambassadors for peace reason. Just the discussion alone, just the dialogue alone means that this was successful. It was not a failure. It cannot be a failure because we talked. We had a discussion. Meanwhile, the world, well, you know the world. It's going up in flames. From the Morning Brief, Mr. Hilliker says, President Trump received an ostentatious red carpet welcome in Beijing yesterday as he began his first state visit to China since 2017, including military honor guard, brass band, and a formal arrival ceremony. The stakes are high, he says later. The meeting's backdrop includes recent revelations of Chinese spying and infiltration of America, cyber theft of AI and military secrets, continued supply of fentanyl precursors that fuel the U.S. addiction and overdose crisis, and strategic purchases of American farmland and properties near military bases. So all that's going on, by the way. And also revelations about COVID and the cover-up and how that the U.S. intel community even knew about it. They knew it came from Wuhan. They knew it was gain of function. They knew it was a weaponized disease. And they covered it up. I mean, how would that have changed everything in 2020, 2021, you know, with the rush to get the vaccine, if we would have just known the truth? But it was covered up. The truth was covered up. And Fauci, you think he's going to be held to account? You would think, I mean, in a normal world, you know, for the most part, it's not been normal from the beginning because God cut this world off from the tree of life. But if you get what I mean, there was a time when, you know, a U.S. president would go over to China and say, listen, you unleashed this on the world. Millions of people died. And now more people are suffering because of this fake vaccine. We can't get to root causes of evil, period. It just doesn't happen. We just move on. Well, we can't live in the past. We've got to move forward. And forget about Rand Paul or this CIA whistleblower. He's not even the most eloquent man. You would think there'd be some journalists, though, that would say, hang on a second. The whole world shut down. Maybe we should look into this. Maybe, is it just Sundance at Conservative Treehouse that cares about the COVID cover-up? Does anyone remember, anyone in major media remember what COVID did to the whole world just 6 years ago? Evidently not. Evidently, you just move on. You just pretend like it didn't happen, or that people didn't die, or that the vaccine doesn't cause side effects. Just pretend. Just Just live in the world of make-believe. And so, you know, the entourage from America, it goes to China, and we just continue on with the fakery and the phoniness. No problem. Yeah, I saw this famous temple in China. It's beautiful. China's beautiful. The nation's wonderful. We have dialogue. It's a successful trip. And on it goes. The New York Times says it was the start of the first visit to China by a U.S. president in 9 years. Later on, it says a White House summary of the meeting said the two leaders discussed fentanyl, market access issues for U.S. companies in China, China's investments into the U.S., and Chinese purchases of U.S. farm products. The leaders also talked about Iran and the Strait of Hormuz. Lots to talk about. There's lots of problems, and yet it's a tremendous success over at Tablet. Strange trip, it says. The notion that Trump and the U.S. hold little leverage in their relations with China is complete nonsense. It talks about Iran and how China's been hurt from that and so on. And as I say, it would seem that China's going to need to take some more hits to come underneath the leadership of the Prince of Raj. This is more from Rubio's interview with Hannity as they're talking about Iran, clip 8.
There's been over a decade of work done to try to diplomatically solve Iran's desire and ambition to have a nuclear weapons program. We haven't gotten any result. What was the diplomatic solution for an Adolf Hitler as an example?
None.
There was none, right? And unfortunately led to a war. So that's where I think the realm of the geopolitical is different and has to, we are obviously guided by our faith and we're instructed by our faith. That's the compass by which we live our lives. We also have an obligation to the national security of our country. And that has to be taken into account. That's our primary job, is to keep Americans safe. And that's why we're involved in Iran. That's why we're involved in anything we do around the world.
Guided by our faith. Here we're coming up to the rededication moment. A lot of talk about faith, about religion, about the Bible, about God. Sundance says here regarding this whistleblower, CIA analyst James Erdman presented himself as a whistleblower to Congress. According to his testimony, there are elements inside the intel community, specifically the CIA, who worked with scientists, science falsely so-called, as the Bible says, they worked with scientists to cover up the origin of COVID-19. I mean, this is conservative treehouse. Is the New York Times going to get around to this? The CIA working with scientists? I mean, they're just interested in the truth, right? They just want to get to the bottom of it. It says here, Dr. Anthony Fauci pressured and influenced scientists in the intel community to fabricate information and lie about the origin of the virus. And, you know, so much of this, we've known this. You see it in the emails. We've seen the cover-up. We've seen them cover up their tracks. But here comes this guy from the CIA, and he's blowing the whistle. And no one seems to be concerned about it. No one cares. And meanwhile, President Trump's in China saying how beautiful it is. Rubio's saying how wonderful the trip is. It's a complete success. Is it? This is from the CIA whistleblower, clip 16.
We are tired of Washington cover-ups. And if they aren't our screw-ups here in the U.S., why would the U.S. government cover up for the CCP and other countries?
Well, that's actually one of the senators who's asking the guy that's testifying. Play clip 17.
I'll provide a conversation I had with one of our whistleblowers. And I asked, and this individual is an incredibly talented scientist. And I said, I asked that individual, why don't you actually go forward, go public? There's a lot of reasons not to do that. There's a whole bunch. His comment was, nobody wanted the lab leak conclusion, and I'm concerned that there's too many people willing to make excuses for China in this organization for the wrong reasons. That was pervasive. And so the individuals we talked to, they never said, you know, one for one, you know, it's because they disliked the sitting president, or they were trying to cover up, like managers were trying to cover up for China. But it was a pervasive undercurrent, is how they described it. There's certainly reluctance to provide information that would be geopolitically destabilizing or provide ammunition for actions that maybe they thought would be unwise.
He talks about it being covered up so that it wouldn't destabilize the world. Look at how the world was destabilized because of a lie. Because of a lie, because of a cover-up, because of scaremongering. A lot of businesses went out of business. A lot of people lost their livelihoods. A lot of people suffered because of this. And now here comes another congressional testimony, and maybe a few sound bites if you're at a conservative website. And then that's it. That's it. And the good old Rhino Republicans say, listen, we can't live in the past. We've got the midterms coming up. We've got to go forward. We've got to think forward. We've got to think ahead. And meanwhile, all of these criminals, they're just, they're left. I mean, Fauci, thankfully, he's not on the news every night. But remember that? Remember when he was on every single show, every night, multiple times a night? And now he's gone. He's made his millions. He wrecked the world in so many ways. They stole the election. But hey, go forward and meet with Xi. Even if President Xi, in his opening remarks, gives us this reference to Thucydides, saying that America's in decline. Hey, we're on the ascent. Just nod along and say, hey, you've got a great country. And I love the fact that we have dialogue, that we're talking. That makes this trip a success. Look at how we define success, progress, growth, faith, religion, peace, you name it. I mean, it's so easy in this world to be deceived by good talk or discussion. And look, Ezekiel 33 says this. It says about Laodicean Christians, lukewarm Christians, they love the message. They love to come support the message. They see it as a lovely song, even. But their heart goes after their covetousness, as God says there. I mean, the prophet is out there sounding the alarm, giving God's perspective, giving God's warning. And even those that enjoy the message, they're not doing anything with it. They're not changing. They're deceiving themselves. That's what happens when you hear, but you don't do. You think of that report. I think Mr. Livingston went through the New York Times piece yesterday. Here you've got the report about just how horrific and gruesome and disgusting and perverse the October 7 attacks were. And then you've got the New York Times, for its part, rushing to the scene right as the report comes out to say, oh, just so that you know, there's some Jews that are really perverted as well. There's some Palestinian terrorists in jail in Israel that have been raped and murdered and whatever. I mean, how corrupt is the media? The mindset, it's really not that different from the Hamas terrorists that went in there raping, pillaging, burning, shooting, killing. I mean, the mindset's not that different because you've got the major media that rushes to the defense of those people that did the raping, the pillaging, the murdering. How do you explain this? You can't explain it unless you understand that Satan is the god of this world and that he's the prince of the power of the air and that he's broadcasting 24/7, nonstop. Here's more from that testimony, clip 18.
COVID. And again, there's a fair question. How long do you want to be backwards leaning looking at COVID? That's a fair question. You only have limited resources, limited time, limited personnel. And we have limited experts that work within the CIA and they've got forward facing threats.
How long do you want to be backwards leaning looking at COVID? In other words, even this guy, he's the whistleblower. And he's acknowledging the fact that a lot of people, are you listening, rhinos? A lot of people just want to move forward. Yeah, because it's so much better. The future is so bright. I mean, peace is breaking out everywhere. We've got a successful summit with Xi. Did Taiwan come up? Well, we didn't really get into that. No comment. We'll move on from that. Here's more from that whistleblower, clip 19.
But where's the accountability? This is what I hear from my constituents all over Ohio. It's like, great, you got a hearing, you said this and that happened. But they want to see the perp walks. Where are the people who made these decisions and how do we hold them accountable? Anthony Fauci is sitting probably sipping margaritas somewhere with his multi-million dollar financial success as a result of duping the American people into putting an experimental virus in their vaccine into their bodies or risk losing their jobs. He's not accountable to anybody. He's having a great life. He was featured on Vogue magazine.
You hear this all over again and you just, I mean, you have to laugh. It's comical. You can't even believe it actually happened. You can't make this up. Fauci's off somewhere sipping a margarita, as he said there. That's a senator. He got away with everything, and he's having a great life. Featured on Vogue magazine. I mean, it's perfect. It perfectly typifies our world today. Just be fake. I mean, you can be as evil through and through as long as you say some nice things. You can even come across as religious. What was that Super Bowl show? The hard rocker out there singing about Jesus? Yeah, he was spreading the gospel. That's all it takes. Just sing a rock song about Jesus. And the gospel is spreading. God's work is going forward. We're moving on beyond COVID and the election steal and the 4 years of fake presidency, the dear leader's third term. All of that happened. But hey, it's 2026. The country's about to be rededicated. And we've had some successes in Tennessee or wherever, that we're going to get more Republican seats. So it's good. Everything's good. Everything's working. God is sounding the alarm. He's saying, look at the last 6 years. Look at the last half decade and what you've done to yourself and how much damage the communist infiltration has caused. Wake up. God intervened. He did intervene to save America from having its name even blotted out. But have our sins been blotted out or buried? Have we set aside our sins? They're like weights, as Paul said in Hebrews 12. They're still there, and they're still slowing us down. Here's clip 9.
Intelligence community leaders and senior analysts downplayed the possibility that the COVID pandemic originated as a result of a lab incident. Motives are difficult to define given the scope of the Diggs review. Intentional or not, the IC's actions resulted in a cover-up, wasted resources, and a failure to properly inform policymakers. Public health policy would have been very different had the American public been made aware that a virus from a lab in China was going to serve as the foundation for an emergency use authorization mRNA products being mandated by the former administration. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional. Dr. Fauci influenced the analytical process and findings by leveraging his position to ensure the IC consulted with a conflicted list of curated subject matter experts, public health officials, and scientists.
Did you hear this? Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional. Wasn't he the highest paid government employee, making about $500,000 a year? I mean, he was God. People worshiped him. It's will worship. We saw it. It was worshiping the human will, influenced by Satan the devil. It's Colossians 2. We had a case study right there in front of us, and we saw it, and I've told people over the years. I can't even count how many times I went to bed at Edstone in 2020 thinking, this is crazy. I mean, it really affected my sleep as I thought, what is wrong with the media, with the commentary? There's no soundness. There's no love. There's no sincerity and truth. It's just all lies. And I'd be on the phone with my father every few days. This is what we're saying on the Trumpet Daily. Is this God's perspective? And he would say, that sounds right to me. That sounds like what you'd read in the Bible. The whole world shut down over a bioweapon made by the United States and China. China, Wuhan. And Fauci and his people, they covered it up. Dr. Fauci's role in the cover-up was intentional, says the CIA guy. The CIA knew. But listen, let's not take this too far. They never would have stolen the election. No. No, it was perfect. That was perfect. All of this sickness, it's everywhere. But somehow, some way, Joe Biden got the most votes in history, I guess. That's what we had to swallow. If you're going to tell a lie, you might as well make it a big one. They got away with it. They got away with it. No one's held to account. How many articles have you seen about this CIA whistleblower and the cover-up of Wuhan in COVID, how many articles, leave aside conservative treehouse, how many articles have you seen coming out of the major media? Zero. A few Fox News clips, and that's about it. That's about it. Move on. Listen, we're thinking ahead. We're going forward. And we're excited because, you know, Trump's back in. And we could get more Republicans in the midterm elections. Things are looking up. This year, it's our nation's birthday. The country, haven't you heard? The country's being rededicated. No one's held to account. Just move on. Move on. Do you think God takes that position when dealing with sin? Listen, I mean, all of those sins, yes, it was horrible, but it was 4 years ago. Just move on. Just move on. Did God take that approach with King David? Okay, you committed adultery. You committed murder. But that was 9 months ago. Just move on. Just move on. That's the thinking, even in religion. You see it. I see it. It's so obvious. Just talk about Jesus. Talk about religion. Talk about God. And there's a religious resurgence like you have never, ever seen. One more from that testimony, clip 10.
Since 2006, the BSEG consulted part-time on biodefense issues for the IC while conducting government-funded research and holding academia positions, as well as maintaining roles in public health institutions and serving as members in the National Academy of Science. They received funding from NIAID and other agencies for vaccine research, USAID's PREDICT project, the Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, and even worked with Chinese scientists on coronavirus and other pathogen studies pursuing vaccines. There was no oversight monitoring how this web of relationships influenced research, policy, and public health in any holistic way for over 20 years. In fact, several of the BSEG scientists helped Dr. Fauci rewrite definitions of gain of function in 2015 to lift a funding pause on dangerous research. Still others participated in planning Event 201 in 2019. This was a coronavirus pandemic tabletop exercise, curiously similar to the events that played out during the COVID-19 pandemic. And it was attended by Dr. Fauci and individuals with IC ties like former DNI Avril Haines.
It's almost like they planned it. They were planning for something like this in 2019. And guess what happened in 2020? The whole world shut down. Event 201 in 2019, he said, this was a coronavirus pandemic tabletop exercise, curiously similar to the events that played out during the COVID-19 pandemic. Did you hear this? They were talking about this. They were planning for this. And I mean, in 2020, they had the perfect excuse. Orange Hitler. I mean, we've got to stop Orange Hitler. We've got to shut the world down. We've got to steal the election. It's crazy. Donald Trump on the Russia hoax. I mean, that's another one, another lie. Just in the last few years, he said on Truth Social, 20 CIA and FBI whistleblowers just dropped the hammer. Barack Obama and his CIA puppet, John Brennan, cooked up the entire Russia hoax to steal the 2016 election and overthrow a duly elected President Trump. This isn't conspiracy, it's treason. How much longer do we let these criminals walk free? Time for real justice. Lock them up. Well, I mean, he said that about Hillary Clinton. All of the servers and emails and bleach bit and everything she deleted to hide crimes. Lock her up. He said it routinely on the campaign trail. And then as soon as he came into power at the start of 2017, what did he say? What did his administration do? Well, we've got to go forward. We've got to look ahead. It's 2017. We can't live in 2016. So we've got to go forward. And we did. And what happened after 2016, after 2017? When are we going to wake up to the fact that when sin is pervasive, you have to confront it? You have to deal with it. You have to put it away. You have to punish criminals. Otherwise, they just keep doing evil deeds. It's something to think about as we draw near to America's 250th birthday. It's something to think about when everyone's talking about America being rededicated to God. When we come back, we've got this story on where have the men gone? It's been on our docket for the last couple shows. Haven't had time to get into it, but we'll touch on this article and a few other things when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Celtic Throne is back on tour. This summer, 15 cities, 8 states, one unforgettable experience. Experience this revolutionary new show, an electrifying fusion of Irish dance, music, theatre and cinema. Experience the show audiences worldwide are raving about.
Absolutely fantastic.
I'm telling you that anybody that comes to see the show is going to be mesmerised.
I've seen the River Dance and the Lord of the Dance, and they were amazing. But this blew me away. It was absolutely amazing. I'd watch it again now.
Absolutely marvellous. And I've been to see River Dance about 5 times, and this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love it.
It's thrilling, I think, is the best way to describe it. It stands at the side of Lord of the Dance and River Dance. It's equal partner.
Absolutely stunning. Absolutely incredible. Not in my wildest dream did I think that it could compare to the other shows, but it was amazing, amazing.
My favourite show I've been to ever, and I've been to River Dance, Lord of the Dance, just my favourite. It was amazing.
But it was amazing. Best experience ever.
Don't miss your opportunity to experience the trailblazing new Irish dance show capturing the hearts of audiences all over the world. Get show and ticket information at CelticThrone.com.
So the fastest demographic for men 25 to 54 since the 1960s has been the ones who are neither working nor looking for work. When you look at the unemployment rate, you say, hey, we're at full employment. That's wonderful, except that there are 3 guys who aren't looking for work for every 1 guy who is. We had the explosion in crime. You can't forget that. The explosion in crime was followed by an explosion in punishment. One of the things that's hiding in plain sight is the 25 million, maybe more, we don't count it exactly, adult Americans who've got a felony conviction in their background now. Probably 1 out of 7 guys has a felony conviction in his background. We talk about mass incarceration, but for every person who's in prison, there are 10 people with felony convictions who are in society as mm-hmm. a whole. You keep on going through these different trends, and all of these are intertwined with this male fail that you and I are talking about.
That is, what's his name, Nick Eberstadt on the Mike Rowe podcast, talking about how men are struggling with crime, with, you know, not wanting to work. We, as I said the other day, I mean, we've had some lectures on this campus, even just recently, about just how important that age bracket is between 25 and 55. You heard him refer to it. I mean, that's your prime of life. That's working class America. Men between the ages of 25 and 55. And what happens when that demographic is sick and infirmed? What happens when that demographic is addicted, as I covered the other day, to gambling or pornography? What happens to the nation? How is the nation rededicated to God when you've got that kind of sickness, when you've got that kind of disease? The Epic Times. The Department of Labor keeps careful track of employment and the demographics thereof. Their latest report on men in the labor force is both mysterious and deeply alarming. It turns out that the labor force is missing about 7 million men who would otherwise be working. Close to a third of working age men have vanished from the labor force. In a message we had, I mean, our church is pretty small. And the figure that we heard that was, you know, I don't know if it was alarming, but it was surprising how few there are. Just a little over 500 men between 25 and 55 supporting God's work, supporting God's church, the working class of the church. I mean, it's a small group. You look at the building behind me, you look at this campus, you look at the reach of these messages, and you think, well, surely, and people have even said this, you must have a million supporters. It's not like that. It's not a million. It's tens of thousands when you take into account, you know, trumpet readers and Key of David viewers and that sort of thing. But when you get right down to the core, the working class men in God's church, it's about 500. In the nation, it says the labor force participation rate among prime age men, age 25 to 54, in the 1950s approached 100%. I mean, if you were in that age bracket in the 1950s, you were working. You were hard at work. 100%. Now it's 89%, meaning roughly 11% are not in the labor force, neither working nor looking for work. What's the problem? Why are they not looking for work? What happened? What happened to our nation? What happened to our men? Well, as I said on Tuesday, there's a war against men, against boys. It says, among all men over 16 years of age, the rate is a devastatingly low 66%. So about one-third are gone. Among U.S.-born men, nearly 22% are gone. What happens to your nation when 22% of your working-class men are gone? What happens if they're drugged up, if they're addicted, if they're lazy, if they won't work, if they go broke because of a gambling addiction, if they're just obsessed with entertainment, sports, pornography? What happens? What happens to the nation? This article made me think of one we talked about on a program over at Edstone. I still remember filming it. It was just so sad. It was based on a New York Times piece, The Vanishing Male Worker, How America Fell Behind. That's from 2014. Why is the male worker vanishing? Working in America is in decline, it says. The share of prime age men, here again, 25, 54, who are not working has more than tripled since the 1960s to 16%. percent. Prime age, prime of life, a time of life when you have good health, you have good energy, you have strength. I mean, even the Proverbs talks about a young man, you know, being strong. And God sees that as glorious. We need youth. We need strength. We need vitality. We need energy in the body of Christ. And so much of that comes from our young people. It lifts my spirits working with them as closely as I do on this campus every day. There's a lot of energy, a lot of zeal, a lot of excitement, a lot of ambition, and there should be. Back to the Epic Times, it says, the explanations for this are all over the map. Disability ranks at the top, but we aren't really talking about wooden legs and paraplegics here. This traces to mental disorders, substance abuse, obesity and chronic disease, low motivation, pharmaceutical injury, and general lethargy and demoralization. I mean, it's not like the people that won't work are crippled physically. They don't want to work, or they've got mental issues. It's like I went through that story the other day. How we've tripled the amount of money we put toward drugs to help with the mental issues. And then mental issues triple. There you go. It's a fake world, isn't it? Just pour money at it. It'll solve all the problems. No, actually, the problems are getting worse. The number of men who live with parents has tripled since the 1950s. When the expectation was that you would be kicked out of the nest at 17 and only return for holidays and special occasions. Otherwise, any self-respecting dude would make a living for himself, find a bride, and set up his own family. The idea of basement dwelling was simply unheard of. Well, that's another problem. You have young men that they're probably interested in some kind of promiscuous sex activity, even if it's with online addictions. But they're not excited about marrying and building a family and raising children. They're happy to just be in the basement. Is this good for the health of the nation? Does this really establish a strong foundation for America, or any country for that matter? Epic Times says, in the 1950s, 4 out of 5 households with children under 18 had one stream of income provided by the father. Oh, man, that's like a different world. A family headed up by a father. And the father, the breadwinner. That was just in the 1950s. 4 out of 5 households. Maybe we should think about this as we go into rededication to God weekend. Today that figure is only 2 in 5. 2/3 of households with children have 2 income streams, with both parents pursuing some professional life outside the home. It says, in fact, you are thinking of some men you know now and how it happened that they just lost interest in the normal flow of life. Instead, they spend their time with gaming, scrolling, pornography, OnlyFans, and some other pointless and destructive pursuit. They rely on substances and drugs to dampen the pain. They've given up. They just give up. They have no drive. They have no ambition. Here's a bit more from, this is actually from the Dave Ramsey Show in 2023, clip 13.
We've got a large number of jobs available and no one applying for them. There's a shortage of labor for the first time in post-World War II America. We've never seen this in modern America. And the reason there's a shortage is not because the jobs are so plentiful. It's because there are, according to this article from Fox News, quoting Micro and quoting this economist, there are now 7 million able-bodied males between 25 and 40 years old that are able to work and are not even looking for work.
Yeah, it's correct. And it's staggering. And so the point here is that what's going on? This is causing massive economic problems. Before we look at the social, very quick glance here. When you have a gap in the jobs like we've had now for the last 2 years, then you've got real small businesses being hurt by this. Think about
the nation is being hurt by it. I mean, this has been in the news for a few years. It doesn't get nearly enough coverage. It's kind of like the, you know, the COVID hearing. You've got a few, Dave Ramsey, Eberstadt, he goes on Mike Rowe's show. If it makes it to Fox News, it's probably worthy of just maybe a 2-minute segment. It just proves Isaiah 1, the sickness that has set in. 7 million, you know, working class men who are out there doing anything but work. I mean, God honors work. In John 9, Jesus said, "My Father works, and I work." In 2 Timothy 2, it says to be a good workman when it comes to your Bible study, when it comes to your spiritual life. We have to work at it. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." Or as Colossians 3 says, "Do it heartily." I mean, show some desire, show some ambition, show some energy, show some passion. God loves work, and He created us to work, to be good workmen, especially our men, especially our working class men. Here's a bit more from Ramsey's show, clip 14.
A good amount of the 7 million men, not all of them, are in this conversation that Mike had with this economist, are looking at screens based on the data. They say how much time they spend on screens. They get dopamine hits.
2,000 hours a year.
2,000 hours a year.
These 7 million men, 25 to 54, are spending 2,000 hours a year on screens.
So self-medicating because they're scared to leave the cave, using your old analogy.
Not cave, it's mother's basement.
Right. But the idea is they're afraid to put themselves out there.
7 million, and they call them men in this article. I'll call them males. All right? Males, 25 to 40, 7 million of them, literally sitting on their butts. And someone else is caring for them. The government, their mommy, their live-in girlfriend who thinks he's cute.
Good for him. Doesn't even call them men. I'll just call them males because they're not really behaving like men. They're not really acting like a man should act. I mean, it shows you how much we need Jesus Christ and His example ever before us. But even that, look at what religion has done to Jesus. They make him out to be an effeminate, long-haired girl, basically. No, that's not the way it was. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Where do you hear that today? The Bible tells us how to be a real man. And it also says that in these last days, God would take away the mighty man. That's in Isaiah 3. So what we're seeing, I mean, it's prophesied, isn't it? And like I said the other day, to come out of this world and to live the right way, you know, to be a working class man, I mean, you're going to have to go against a lot, to fight against a lot of demonic influences in the world today, because men are under attack. boys are being attacked. But the Bible will show you the way. The Bible does clearly define our roles, whether men or women. It clearly defines roles in marriage, in family. We've got a booklet, Why Marriage? Soon obsolete. I mean, Mr. Armstrong was way ahead of his time. It's becoming obsolete today because there's not enough real men that really want to leave the basement and get married and build a family. So sad. Order that booklet if you don't have a copy already. I took you a minute over, but I will not charge you for that extra content, free content, on today's show. The fastest moving hour or hour plus in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.